Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders who share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite athletes to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe to The Rundown. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
During my training, honestly, what helped me keep pushing was picturing crossing the finish line with my dad and picturing that moment that I knew my family would have seeing us run by, because I knew how significant that was when I was waiting for my dad. And visualizing that, like, I'd be on the treadmill practically like welling up with tears and like, okay, I got this. And I had chronic pain at the time. I had a permanent tear in my hip. You know, I was going through pain. It's not like I was just like, woo, feel amazing. Mm-hmm. So there were, you know, personal obstacles that I was pushing through as well.
On this episode of The Rundown, we'll talk about goal setting with Eccentrics trainer, Meg Feeney. We discuss her understanding of running and how Eccentrics can help athletes of all levels find their stride. This episode is brought to you by Movember, a cause that is most recognized for its mustache and has evolved into so much more. In fact, you don't even need to grow a mustache to participate. Keep your beard, grow or don't. The most important thing is raising awareness to fight the four main causes: mental health, suicide prevention, prostate cancer, and testicular cancer. Getting involved is easy. Sign up or donate at Movember.com to help change the face of men's health. In this week's news, I want to talk about the New York City Marathon, which happened back on November 4th, 2018. That was a Sunday. A total of 52,812 runners finished the New York City Marathon that day, breaking the world record for marathon finishers. New York held the previous record of 51,394 finishers back in 2016. The New York City Marathon, which debuted in 1970, is known as the world's largest annual marathon. Ethiopian Lalisa Desisa and Kenyan Mary Keitany won the men's and women's races, with the second fastest times for each gender on the course. The top American female was 2017 winner Shalane Flanagan, who finished third. So she's actually finished on the podium three times for that marathon. One third place finish, one second place finish, and last year's first place finish. She's quite a remarkable athlete, and that kind of puts her in legendary status. I also want to bring your attention to the 24-hour move challenge happening this month in support of Movember. It will be held on November 24th and 25th at B52 Gym in St. Henry. You can run, spin, row, or take one of the many scheduled classes throughout the 24-hour period. For more information, check out Movember QC on Facebook and Instagram. That's all for the news. Gotta run. Hey, Meg, welcome to The Rundown.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming by today.
Pleasure.
Yeah. I was able to meet you through our friend Leslie, right?
Yeah.
And you're really into this. He said he was talking about Eccentrics. And this is what you do right now, right?
Exactly.
Okay, awesome. And can you just tell us a little bit about that? I know we just finished doing a little snippet, little one-on-one.
A little taste.
Which I thought was excellent, by the way. I thought it was important to do this Eccentrics class before we actually got together and had a little chat. But
you did it.
Yeah.
Eccentrics is a full body dynamic stretch and strengthening program that really works the full range of motion of all your joints. So it's based on the lengthening principles, the strengthening and lengthening principles of ballet, and the nice kind of full body flowing aspects of Tai Chi, even drawing from, you know, some physiotherapy techniques and other principles. It works all 650 muscles in every single workout, stretching and strengthening all of them, and just really liberating your body through this full body movement.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to be really important, or it could have been really cool to have you on today, because as a runner, I'm always looking for ways to strengthen my body without putting too much strain on it, especially during the training block or training season, because you don't want to do anything that's going to, you know, hurt you. So I just, when after talking to you just like briefly and learning a little bit about what that was, I could see how it could be beneficial for runners.
Exactly. And, you know, what's so great about it is that it's not like stop doing what you're doing, stop running. It's just like work eccentrics into your training program, no matter what you're doing, just work it in, and it's going to help whatever you do, you'll do it better. It's going to prevent injuries, and it's going to help you rebound from those injuries when they happen, because they do. And it really is a game changer, and who people who have started it, from even, you know, your regular average Joe to a professional athlete, they feel the difference with that kind of rebound time, recovery time. It's hard. I mean, fitness, there's a lot of choices out there. It's not like dental hygiene where you know you just have to brush your teeth and floss, and even that is sometimes hard to maintain. With fitness, you don't know what to do. There's a million options out there, and maybe you're picking up on the latest trend because you think, you know, that's what everybody else is doing. And so I just love getting the word out about eccentrics, because it changes everything. You start doing it and you start to connect with your body. You start to feel good about yourself. You feel faster, stronger in those runs, in whatever sport you do. So it's a really nice tool for anyone to have, no matter what other activities they do.
And how long have you been doing eccentrics? And you don't just do it. You're an instructor. You teach the certifications and...
Exactly. My little story, it was an emotionally stamped story. I remember I was in my 20s and I was always swimming in the summers. And then in the winter, you know, our wretched winters, long, I wasn't doing anything. I was doing little DVDs at home. And
like workout classes.
Yeah, like okay. Kathy Smith style, like Tai Bo, whatever it was. Living at home with my parents, Hal Johnson, Joanne McLeod,
body break,
ab roller. So I was doing that. And then one day I was squeegeeing my shower in the wintertime. And I was like, this is the most physical activity I'm getting. I don't feel good. I'm in my 20s and I just feel like I have a body, but it's like, I just have it. I know that I'm not tapped into that strength, that mobility. I just knew it. You're like, you wake up, you feel fine, you go about your day, you feel fine. You know, I didn't have anything terribly wrong with my body or this or that, but I was just like, ick, like just blah. And my friend from high school, who was a professional athlete, a skier and a physiotherapist, she got into it right when they opened their studio here in Montreal. And she's like, Meg, you got to try this out. So I threw myself into one of her classes. And like most people experience, kind of like you did too, it's like hilariously difficult.
Mm-hmm. Believe me.
Yeah, the beads of sweat do form. And so you're just pumping your arms and moving your body. And I remember laughing and being like, why is this so challenging? Like, these are just my arms. These are just my legs. Why is it so hard? And
with no weight.
You know, when you step on a scale, there's a number. So we're just using our body weight, right? And so I did her class and I was like, whoa, what the heck was that? And bought a DVD, did them at home, because it's a program that's on PBS every day under the name Classical Stretch. It's been on PBS since 1999. So it's a really thorough exercise program that you can do at home and not fear of getting injured. You know, you don't need this complete picky strategy from an instructor telling you exactly what to do. You just kind of follow the movements in your own way. And so I started doing this program like my other DVDs that I had been doing. Mm-hmm. And I would put on the shows, you know, I got to know, okay, this episode was more challenging. Okay, I'm in the mood to get work. I'll put that one on. Okay, this one is more of a release. You know what? That's what I need today. So I just kind of got into it and then started throwing myself into the classes that the downtown studio and I would take a train. I was a preschool teacher at the time. So, you know, on my feet, kind of hunched over, giving energy all day, throw myself on a train, and I would do these back-to-back classes, and I would feel like a different person when I came out. And again, like young, I was in my 20s, and sometimes I would even take like a 6-minute power nap before and like set my alarm and then run to class, and I would hustle. But I knew that it was just like, I felt so good after, that it was worth the rushing and worth the whatever. Cause afterwards it's not even like you felt like, I felt like a different person. I did in a way, but it's almost like I got connected to my true self and my true potential. So, you know, even within the class, you do these big body movements, which is very freeing in a way, because in our, you know, in your day to day, it's very childlike, I guess, like in our day to day, we're not moving around and jumping around. And, you know, we're kind of, you get up, it's very linear, you sit down, it's all forward motion. So eccentrics, it's set to music. It plays with kind of that neuromuscular aspect of it. So you're listening to this music, you're moving with it, there's imagery, you're kind of getting lost in this movement at the same time as being so connected to yourself. And before this program, I couldn't touch my toes. Not naturally flexible. You know, just another thing you can thank your parents for. So I couldn't touch my toes. And then all of a sudden, you know, I could. And so I took the teacher training program to kind of just discover a little bit more, like, what is going into these arm pumps? Why am I feeling this way? And I had no intention to ever teach it. I just wanted to know it for me. And then here I am, you know, however many years later, working at the head office with the creator and the amazing team there, and traveling around, you know, Canada and the States and elsewhere, training teachers. So it's kind of a fun little journey that it's taken me on. But I know that I'm not alone, because people tell me this. It's like, when you do this class, you have this moment of like, this is what I knew was out there. Mm-hmm. Like, you just know that something's out there that you're not tapped into. And so eccentrics is that platform that you go and you're like, I knew it. I just knew there was something out there that would make me kind of, you know, it's just based on techniques that really enhance the natural movement of your body, nothing mm-hmm. more. So it's very special.
Yeah. And just 10 minutes with like doing a little movement, I felt things that I haven't felt in my shoulders, in my hip. Yes. My hips big time.
Yeah.
It's like something that I need, that I know that I need to stretch a lot more of and stuff like that. But it's like, you can feel it making a difference almost immediately.
Exactly. And people say that after one class, they're like, I'm taller. And you know what? People send us their doctor's reports. And people regain the height that they've lost. They send us their doctor's reports, even of their, you know, their bone density. It's when I started this program, I was like, what kind of cult am I in? You know, the letters that come back from people who are doing this program at home without a teacher, just with the videos, 22 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. It's life-changing. You know, they're not on pain meds. They've lost all these pounds and pant sizes. They're playing with their grandkids. Like, they're just doing real-life stuff. They're traveling. Like, it's like they've been given their life back. And people in their 60s and 70s, they write us to tell us that they've never felt better. So it's like, it is quite immediate, because it's so simple. Often we make things so much harder on ourselves. We try to make answers so much more complicated, and often it's just staring us in the face. Mm-hmm. So eccentrics is so simple. The design of it is so simple. It's like, hey, let's just move our body every which way it's designed to move.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think I'm going to get this from my mom.
Yes.
It'd be something so simple for her, facing a little bit of arthritis and stuff.
Exactly.
It'd be nice for her to be able to do something at home, easy, that she can work on herself.
That's and, it. You know, and we work with, you know, incredible doctors, you know, in the kind of the pain clinic industry and connective tissue. And, you know, so many massage therapists, they see our program for 1 second and they're like, yeah, this makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's nice because we are, it's backed by science. You know, it's not this fad. Okay, let's flail our body around. It's backed by the design of your body. So that's what, you know, you can feel really confident doing it.
Right. And where do you find this fits in with running? Like, I know you actually, you are a runner too. You've done a few races that you've told me about, a few half marathons. Like, were you athletic growing up?
I was a swimmer, more than anything. I guess I started swim team at, you know, about 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And then I grew up to be a lifeguard and coach swim team until, I guess, you know, 20, 21. And then would continue to swim laps throughout my 20s. And I feel deeply connected to swimming. And, you know, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about how it's similar to running. And as a kid, you know, I was never like team competitive. It's never like I was like, I'm going to kick that person's butt. You know, mm-hmm. It's just like kind of like, hey, I'm going to do my own best job. And the sports that I was attracted to was like swimming, tennis, skating, you know, these like individual sports. I did the other stuff, but, you know, I never like crazy excelled at them. I just kind of did them for fun to stay active. But the same thing with swimming, there is with running. You kind of have to have this this dialogue, you know, before you even jump in the water, before a half marathon, or, you know, and during the swim, during your race, during your running. There's this mental dialogue that's happening. And the only way that you're really going to cross that finish line or, you know, is by that positive self-talk. You know, and you, so you have those nerves and you have those jitters, and my God, I remember them so clearly. You know, before the gun shoots, you're like, holy shit, you know, you're just like, ah! Yeah. And as a kid, you're like, oh my God, you're looking like left and right of you and looking at these other swimmers with like, you know, shoulders twice as size as you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh my gosh. And you know, you might dive in and your goggles might fly off and you just have to go with it. And so I think that, you know, looking back, I feel blessed and grateful for that experience. And I think that that's why I had an easy transition into running, because I was already, you know, used to that kind of positive self-talk, positive dialogue that you have as a runner. And for my first half marathon, the training of that, I really remember, you know, it was really like every step, you say these things to yourself. I'm sure we all have our own little mantras, maybe without even realizing it. But, you know, I would just be like, you got this, you got it, you know, one step at a time, you got this, you got this. And, you know, that's the only way that you can train and you can do these long runs. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, you're slow or this or that, or, okay, what do I need for my groceries? It's like, you're so in the moment. And that's also how it's really different from cycling, because I cycle everywhere. I cycle more than I run.
So you're a triathlete then.
Right. Thanks. you know, I cycle everywhere, but I'm not like, you got this, you got this. It's kind of like, hey, let's stay alive. I'm like, pothole, door, cop, pedestrian, you know, like, it's literally like survival mode.
Montreal's famous for all these things.
So, you know, and I've had my rite of passage with like incidents with doors and with other bikers, and it's just going to happen. So, you know, during biking, it's not that meditative kind of trance where you're like, you got this. It's kind of just like, hey, let's stay alive. With running, that's how I understand and how I connect with how it is this meditative tool, because you do have to be so in the moment, and it's not elsewhere. Your mind's not elsewhere. It's just very centered and focused. So I really appreciated my first training. Well, I've run 3 marathons, and the first one was the only one I've half marathons. He's like giving me the sign. What? I have to tell the truth? Come on, they don't know anything. So yeah, my first one is the only one that I actually trained for.
And did you start Were you just a recreational runner, or did you do one of these crazy things where you're like, oh, I'm going to start running and a half is where I'm going to begin?
Right, exactly. I don't consider myself an intense person. Yeah. But anyway, so the little story about that is that my dad was a runner and he was in his 60s and he picked up running in his 60s and then started running half marathons right away, always the Ottawa one. It's a very friendly community there, always in May. My sisters live there. And so he would run that every year and we would go and cheer him on. And the first time that I went to cheer him on, you know, it's exciting. You're waiting for them to run by. You're waiting. You've got your sign. You've got your whatever. You're like, could we have missed them? Are they coming? You know?
Yeah, don't sneeze.
Yeah, exactly. And like everyone seems to be wearing the same thing. And then, you know, you see them coming and you jump up and down. You're like, oh my God. And he ran by and I was like, oh, I'm going to finish it with him. So I jumped in wearing like little tiny flats, like necklace flailing, hair flailing, sunglasses, who knows. And I just jumped in with him for like, I don't know, a good kilometer plus, like at the end, filming him. And I was just like, you got this, Dad, you got this. And I ended up finishing the marathon.
Did you actually run through the finish line?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't know if that's allowed, but whatever, it worked. Memories.
Yeah.
So then it was so emotional and it was so exciting. And we went and cheered him on every year. And then he turned 70. And 3 months before he turned 70, it was in February. It was just one of these no-brainer moments. I had never run before. Okay, so that's a lie. I had like run like, you know, when you're like young and you're like, oh, let's run by like that boy's house that I think is cute. And you're like, you know, you don't really run to run. You're just like kind of casual about it. So that's where I was at.
Just to get somewhere faster.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Running late is my cardio. Mm-hmm. It was February 1 year, and it was the year that he would be turning 70 in May. And so I remember perfectly, again, emotional stamped moment. And I was in my kitchen on my break from preschool at lunch, and I was just like, I'm going to run this with him. I was like, that's obviously, like, I'm in fine physical shape. He's training for this. You don't know what life is going to throw you. You don't know. So I was like, he's turning 70 in 3 months. He's running this half marathon. I'm in fine physical shape. I'm doing this. So I was so excited to do this for him as a reflection of how much I've like respected him and, you know, just so much. So I signed up through the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. It was, you know, these half marathons and marathons get sold out. And I was like, wow, this is a great way to sign up for the marathon and then also have this, like, this kind of team of people supporting you. They were incredible. I think it was called, like, Team in Training.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, they do a lot of really cool events.
Like they made me feel so comfortable right off the bat, set me up so friendly. And I was like, okay, wait. So now I'm running for the first time in my life. I'm running a half marathon in 3 months. And now I'm fundraising for the first time in my life too. Cool. And it was scary because I was like, I don't like asking people for anything. I don't want them asking for money. Like, okay, great. This is my idea. But now why are other people? So I just like put it out there. I wrote my little story like, hey, I'm running with for my dad's 70th birthday. Here's, you know, what I'm running for. And people just started donating. And every time I got this little notification, I'd be like, oh my gosh, like I was so floored. Mm-hmm. And looking back, I'm so grateful that I signed up through them because it just crazy added to the experience. All of a sudden, instead of it just being like this solo mission for my dad, I had this like team of people that were signing up, supporting, donating. I was so moved and touched. I can't even tell you. And I like crazy, you know, blew the goal out of the park. Like it was like thousands of dollars. And I was just like, what? So it was so amazing.
Yeah, the thing about the fundraising, I always say is like, it's always hard to ask, but it's not for you. It's for,
yes.
You know what I mean? It's for a greater...
And you know, often, just like, what exercise do I do? Often people want to give, but they don't know where to give. Mm-hmm. And so when you make it easy for them, and it's like, boom, here's my story, here's the page, anything counts. I think that that's really nice for people, because I know that we all have that, you know, we all want to give in our hearts and our souls, but sometimes we just don't know where to go. So when it's easy for us, that's what makes it happen. Mm-hmm. So I had this team in training, Leukemia Lymphoma Society. They set me up with a training program. I downloaded some kind of Nike running app. I downloaded some fun music playlist, whatever. My song that I still remember was New York, like Alicia Keys and Jay-Z.
Oh, yeah.
It's very like,
I ran the New York half in March.
Yeah.
And again, that song, it was on my playlist.
Yeah.
And I was about to turn on a street just before turning down Times Square.
Yeah.
And it's closed for you. And that song comes on and I'm like,
yes.
I look at my splits and I'm like, I ran the fastest at that moment.
Just exactly. Oh my God. You feel me.
That's the dangerous part about the music though.
I know, it's true. You can like end up running to the moon.
Yeah, no EDM for
it. So I had my music and everything, and I remember I was like, I just want to follow this training program so I don't get injured. I had no time goals. I had no personal best. My dad didn't know, right? Like, I was keeping this as a secret from him.
Oh wow.
So that was exciting. So I was secretly training. I was a member at the Mansfield Club, so I would go. And the fun thing about training is that you feel like, before going into this, did I have any spare time? No, you don't feel like you ever have any spare time. But then you make the time, and you make the time. So, you know, I would throw myself at the to the gym like late at night, because I knew I had a goal, and I had to stick to that. And my goal was to not get injured. And so, you know, I was exhausted. It was February. Thank God for the gym, because like I was not down with like winter running. So, you know, stuck to my hill intervals and everything. And then finally, when it was spring, I would run up Peel and I'd like call the paramedics ahead of time and be like, meet me at the top.
Killer.
Cursing.
Like the best. We're lucky to have it. It's the best training by far.
Yeah. So stuck to all those little bursts, the long runs. You know, it was also challenging is figuring out what to eat beforehand, how to fuel your body. Mm-hmm. That was almost just as challenging as the physical aspect of it, honestly.
Mm-hmm. So what did you eat?
I did the whole steel cut oats thing on Sundays, with like banana or walnut or whatever, with like maybe almond milk. I don't know.
Nice.
But yeah, that definitely did the trick. That fueled me.
Now, did you try that before? Because I always, I have one thing I learned from my coaches. They say nothing new on race day.
Right. That was throughout the training. Exactly. So I was doing that throughout the training.
Okay.
And then on race day.
Tried,
totally.
Tested and true.
100%. And I'm all for that too. Exactly. You got to stick to like what you're doing already.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I just, I was training. People were donating. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And
the training was by yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, sometimes I would run, you know, you just kind of leave your house and you run. And I realized that sometimes I would run through like sketchy areas and I'm like, this is not fun. So I needed like that positive kind of vibe, energy. And so I started running along the canal, and that was nicer for me. And also for me, it's nice to just seriously like look far ahead and just kind of like keep my gaze on a spot instead of like running around the city. And I would end up like by the Olympic Stadium in Hochelaga. And I'm like, I don't know where I am, but I have to get up to certain kilometers. Whereas the canal, like you just like run, and I would just like stay focused on this point and just almost like glaze over my eyes, kind of in this like magic eyes state.
Trance.
Yeah. And I'm the same when I run on a treadmill. When I run on a treadmill, I just kind of like gaze and like look at a spot and just kind of zone out. But I stuck to a training program with the team and raised money, and then finally told my dad for his birthday, because his birthday is in May, the beginning of May, and the half marathon was at the end of May. And so I made him a video to like black boxes everybody, you know, and I just like, I took lots of clips of me running around the city at the gym and like made this fun like dance video of me running. And he's like, what is this? Are you are you running? You know, he's like piecing it together. And then, you know, a little sentimental music comes on and whatever. And I tell him in the video that I'm running it for him and that we have this whole team of people supporting us through the Lymphoma and Leukemia Society. And it was amazing. And then to top it off, my sisters, my mom, my nieces, my nephews, my best friend, boyfriend at the time, everybody, they got matching t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Team Feeney on the sidelines. Like,
Feeney's your last name.
Feeney's my last name. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Just for people.
Little relevance.
Like, what does Feeney mean?
Yeah, exactly. It means winner in Gaelic.
Okay.
But like, even during my training, honestly, what helped me keep pushing was picturing crossing the finish line with my dad. And picturing that moment that I knew my family would have seeing us run by, because I knew how significant that was when I was waiting for my dad. Mm. And visualizing that, like, I'd be on the treadmill practically like welling up with tears and like, okay, I got this. And I had chronic pain at the time. I had a permanent tear in my hip. You know, I was going through pain. It's not like I was just like, woo, feel amazing. Mm-hmm. So there were, you know, personal obstacles that I was pushing through as well. So we ran it and it was amazing. And my gosh, even so, the team in training, they find you. On the half marathon, they find you. So the team, like, they're like, okay, Meg, we're going to check in on you and your dad. And I'm like, how is this possible? There's 10 trillion people running. Yeah.
On the app.
Yeah. So anyway, they find us and they check in. How you guys doing? And it was just like, I was like cheering and high-fiving everyone the whole time. And then, you know, after like 18 kilometers, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be cheering and high-fiving. Like, this is actually draining for me as well. I need the energy. No. But it was all good.
Actually, one thing about the spectators is you get energy from them too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You engage with them. They engage right back with you, and it blows my mind how many people show up to these things. And Ottawa's
for me, amazing.
Yeah, one of my favorites. I started when I started with the halves. It was the only one I would run.
Yeah.
I would go back every single year.
Absolutely.
One per year.
Absolutely. If it's your first one, so this has taught me that anyone can do it. I'm like, if you want, join through some kind of fundraising platform to get that team support. Mm-hmm. Run somewhere where there's that, you know, that notorious kind of reputation for the fans and for everybody on the sidelines, that helps. You know, if you want, run it with a friend. I didn't have any time goal, you know. My dad was harder on himself, right? He's running and he's like, this is harder than it was last year. And I'm like, Dad.
You're 70.
I'm like, Dad, positive. And he's like, I'm positive this is harder than it was last year. And I'm like,
Great deadline.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and it was an incredible experience for the whole family. And then after that half marathon was done, I just stopped running. I'm a project-oriented person. I realize this no matter what I pick up, if it's like playing an instrument or some kind of craft or some kind of something, as soon as this project is done, I'm like, I go back to just my regular being. So I stopped running. And it was like, I guess that was May 2016. And then cut to August of the following year. Or that was 2015. Anyway, cut to August of the following year.
You sent me your race date, so I know exactly.
Yeah, I was like, I'm so bad at this kind of stuff.
Ottawa was May 2015, and then Montreal half marathon, September 2016.
Right. So then in August the following year, I was like, you know what? I want to get out there. I want to meet people. I want to do something healthy. I want to socialize somewhere that's not just like in a bar, drinking. You know, I like fitness. I like health. I like feeling good about my body. Like where, how does this happen, you know, when you're a certain age? So then I discovered this running group in Montreal, and who was leaving, like, they're running out of St. Henry, mm-hmm. Yamajo, or we run, shout out.
Why Pierre was our first episode, so people should be familiar with him, but he runs with Yamajo, so.
They're good people.
Yeah, they're good people, yeah.
I discovered this somehow online, Instagram, I guess, and I just started going for runs. And this was like mid-late August.
Okay.
And I just started going for runs like twice a week, Wednesday nights, you know, Saturday before I would teach eccentrics. I'd run with them for a bit and then like leave them and run directly to my studio class and teach a class. And you know, it was so nice. There's high fives, there's positive energy, there's this like-mindedness. You know, you don't necessarily know these people, but they've got your back. It was a very, very nice place to be. And
you just showed up by yourself? Are you dragging?
Yes, I have brought a couple wing girls because, you know, I was like, new things, people, help. So,
which is the intimidating factor when you show up to a group or
100%.
You know, they're a crew. They call themselves a crew. You know,
yeah.
There's run clubs.
Yeah.
To show up by yourself can be intimidating for sure.
Right.
As much as you encourage people to come, there's always this hesitation.
Yeah. So I do encourage people to try that. And you always hear like, take yourself to a movie, take yourself to dinner, you know, and like you hear of these things, but like, are we really doing that? So like, it's a nice kind of like personal practice, little test for yourself. But I did have, you know, my girlfriends laugh at me. I was like, you know, there's no more like wing girl, like put on your heels, we're going out. It's like, put on your running shoes, we're running a 10K. They're like, what did I sign up to?
Yeah.
So we have some funny stories of girls that I would like drag, and it was Saturday mornings and they would always be hungover. And I'm like, please, you promised. So I did a few runs with them. The longest run was like 10 kilometers or 11 kilometers, hitting all the peaks and lookout of Montreal, because there's infinity.
There are. Well, I know if I usually do a 3-peak.
You're like, how are we still peaking?
Yeah.
The oratory, you're like, where did all these stairs come from? No wonder people kneel to go up. There's too many. You can't even walk up with them. Anyway, so I was like, I was running with them, and then September came along and there was a half marathon. And I remember it was a Tuesday and the run was on the Sunday. And on the Tuesday, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to run this thing. Like, again, the longest run I had done with them was like 10 kilometers. I had only been running since mid-August, so like 1 month of running. Mm-hmm. And before, back in the day, like I thought 3 months of training was a small amount of time for my first half marathon. And now we're looking at like twice a week, kind of, for a month.
Yeah. Also concerning for me. We talk about injury free and then training.
And there's also a little bit of yoloing, okay? There's a little yoloing.
I did it too, trust me.
So I was like, hey guys, if you can get me a Yamajo penny so I can like rep this group, I'm going to run. So they did.
Of course they did.
And I just ran it and I thought it was funny, right? I'm just kind of like, this is hilarious. And like, you know, I was just kind of nervous, but, you know, fun and just like, okay, like I don't have... The goal is just to cross the finish line. The goal wasn't, I got to do it in this time and I got to do it in this. Like, I knew that there was no way for me to be disappointed in myself because I was just going to do it. I knew that I could. I knew that it didn't matter how long it took me. I knew that I could. So I did it and I showed up and, you know, it was fun. The little crew from the run, you know, run team is there. We're all like, woo, high-fiving. And it's like cold as fuck in the morning. And I'm like wearing sweatshirts and like kind of like, what am I getting into? But then like, you know.
They probably, for that event, they probably put on a cheer squad too. They do every year.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So like there's, you know... And then I ended up running with one of the guys from the crew. Shout out to Mac. You know, and he is super into...
Yeah. The most smiley guy in Montreal, I think.
So he was super into his, like, I don't know, Strava running app, you know, pacing, kilometers. Meanwhile, like, I'm just like, I got my Beyonce playlist. I'm good. So I ended up just running behind him. And he ended up pacing me because he was pacing himself. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't, like, we did not walk. We did not stop at all. Like, we jogged through the little juice stations, but I just kept up with him. And he'd kind of, like, look back. And I'd be like, hey, dude, like, without even realizing it, you're my little pace bunny.
And you don't even know what pace it is.
Nope. So I just felt comfortable though. Mm-hmm. And that's always how I've run, is just like how it feels to
that's
me,
good,
how it feels to me. So,
that's a good tip for sure.
Mm-hmm. So
whenever you're in it and you're,
yeah.
Cause so many people, the game face is on, you know, and you know, they have a goal in mind and they want to stick to it, but that's when you can get into trouble sometimes.
Where
to bring it back, you got to, whatever feels natural, whatever just for 5 minutes, just take a deep breath, find your flow again and then start again, you know?
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I just feel grateful that I've just always kind of been guided by that kind of feeling. And even when I teach eccentrics and when I design routines or when I just teach privates, like, you know, I'll joke after class, I'll be like, I don't know what I did. I don't know what I did, but I just moved intuitively and it worked. So it's the same thing with running. And, you know, we passed by the cheer squad and everybody, and it was like, woo, and we passed the finish line. It's like, woo. And, you know, and then you're like, wow, okay, did it. And I FaceTimed my family during the run because I missed my niece's second birthday party. So I was forgiven, but I FaceTimed them. And so that was cute to involve my family that way.
Awesome.
And then after that, I continued to run a little bit, but then I guess, you know, winter strikes and I bought the crazy shoes and I bought the crazy like ear muffs and I bought the crazy stuff. And then I realized that like, I'm not that crazy because I cycle through the winter. So I am that crazy. I'm crazy on a different platform. So I was like, okay, if I'm cycling in the winter, like there's only so much outdoor physical activity I want to endure. Mm-hmm. So I kind of fell off again running. And then, you know, time went on. Mm-hmm. And then spring came and another opportunity came up. I love the West Coast. I love Vancouver. It feels like home whenever I get on a plane back to the East Coast, like a little part of my soul is
it's beautiful. Yeah.
So I'm always been very connected since the first time I went out there, you know, 14, 15 years ago. And there's this run that's put on through Lululemon called the Seaweed's Half Marathon.
Yeah, I've done it twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like...
We actually might have done it the same year because I did
last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was there last year and
the year
before.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Didn't even know it.
Maybe I ran past you.
Probably.
So, you know, and it's like harder than Harvard to get into, right?
Oh, God.
Like
fills up in 2 minutes.
Like less.
Less than that. Yeah.
Like actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I think I definitely tried. I went online and then you're like, you know, when you go into something so confident and you're like,
You're like,
yeah, okay, I'll just sign up. And then you don't. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was that moment. And then I was like, you know what? I know it's going to happen. And like, just, you know, when things are aligned. And again, that sure feeling, just like when I signed up for that first half marathon for my dad, it was like, yeah, obviously it's going to happen. This is a great idea. Mm-hmm. And just like the September one here in Montreal, it's like, yeah, okay, this is going to work out. And so for Seaweeds, I was like, I just know. And so I put it out there into the universe. And this friend and colleague from Eccentrics who lives in Amsterdam, I mentioned it to her. And because a couple like running people here in the West Island, they knew her through running. Anyway, my name came up. Mm-hmm. And then I get this email in the middle of the night. I came home late one night after some drinks, see this email. And it's like, you've been Seaweezed. And I'm like, what? And the next morning I like forgot. And I was like, was I dreaming? And I open up my email and it's like, you've been granted a spot. And I was like, what? But it's like, what? But also like, yeah, I know. You know, like I just knew. And so because of that, I did like a really great Eccentrics one day workshop and went out and met up with, you know, homies out there. And so I did not train. I trained even less. He's shaking his head for the radio listeners.
Oh, God. This concerns me. I just know.
He's like, you're going to be great. I know people are going to connect. Wait, everything she's saying, don't listen to.
I know because I used to do it. And it hurts so bad.
It hurts. It hurt a lot.
It hurts so bad after. Like, I like to walk after I cross the finish line and not be hobbling around for the next 3 days.
Yeah. Yeah, the peppermint roly does nothing.
Oh, God.
So
there's not much that helps.
Okay, but all this to say, it is a testament to just leading an active lifestyle. So I cycle everywhere. So I get my cardio. I get my, like, endurance. That's just woven into my lifestyle. Mm. I'm doing eccentrics regularly. So I'm moving my full body 650 muscles in all the range of like in every way it should move.
This is something I wanted to ask you. So how do you feel like eccentrics can help runners specifically?
Well, it's
like giving your the run background and the eccentrics.
You know what? It's tapping into on a few levels. One level, it's body awareness. And that's even things like thinking of pulling up. You know, and you picture someone running, and we've all seen that person slamming into the pavement. Or you see someone running and they look like a gazelle. And you're like, okay, their joints will last. And they're just pulling up. And what eccentrics is based on, two of our main techniques is as simple as pulling up, which is just like pulling up through your spine, like I was having you do, pulling up. And then, you know, when we reach our arms out and when we work kind of more on a horizontal plane, we pull out. And that's the lengthening and strengthening principles, which is the foundation of liberating your body. So when you build strength in a lengthened way, you're liberating your body, and that kind of freedom of movement is going to last because you've strengthened your muscles in that stretched out position. And not just position, because we're always moving. So you're working this full range of motion, movements. So even one thing for running, it's that body awareness, not slamming the pavement, pulling up, engaging your core, engaging your abs, really feeling how you're landing on your feet. These subtle differences, I apply that even when I'm biking. As soon as I kind of engage my abs, pull up, boom, it feels like that extra power on my bike.
This is why you do bike fittings for anybody. Like I do triathlon too. Mm-hmm. They want to just make subtle adjustments so that the angle of your foot, yes, and you're pushing more backwards so you get more power.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into that. You know?
Yeah. So it's...
I can see that. So a change in your position while running.
Awareness, maybe relaxing your shoulders.
Yeah.
And it's... Eccentrics is functional fitness. So it's just... It's like... whatever you're doing is going to be helped through eccentric. So that's one way is body awareness. The other way is really, it's recovery, right? So if you're tight, you can't tap into that potential strength. You can't recruit those muscles. Tightness. And that's like, you know, you picture a typical kind of gym rat. Picture a big, muscly guy at the gym. What mobility does he have? Zero mobility. He's like walking around like Frankenstein. You know, and now you picture a ballet dancer, male, female. They've got massive range, massive freedom of movement, and massive strength. Massive. They can jump up higher than any, you know, mm-hmm, you or me, a basketball player, anyone, right? They've got that explosive power. They've got that endurance. They've got that range of motion. They've got that posture pulling up. I mean, eccentrics does so much for your posture. And posture, okay, maybe you're like, okay, what's the big deal? But, you know, sitting is the new smoking. And posture, your good intentions to have good posture needs to be supported by your musculature. So it's not just like your mom saying, hey, stand up straight. You know, so much is involved in maintaining that good posture. When you have poor posture, what's housed inside your rib cage? What's housed inside your torso? All your important organs. Everything.
Respiratory.
Yes. Like, so then yeah, you have good posture. All your organs have more space to do what they're meant to do. That's why people email us even about their digestion, their everything. Because it's just, again, it's not like tapping into this crazy new body. It's like tapping into your potential, tapping into like, hey, everything has a job in your body. Now you've given it the space to actually do its job. So, you know, even breathing, your breathing in terms of running is helped through doing eccentrics because your posture has improved. Your energy, my God, your energy is incredible. The change and When you do this technique, when you work your full body, when you work all of your muscles give you energy. So if you're running, are you using all 650 muscles? you know?
So, and using them as efficiently as possible.
Right. So then you do a full body technique, all of a sudden you've woken up all these muscles that have not been used. And so they will be fueling you in your run. They will be fueling your energy. It's like you've just given yourself a bigger gas tank and then you filled it. That's eccentrics.
I need to test this to its full. The world record for the marathon was broken, and it's 201. 201. What did he do? Anyways.
Yeah. And, challenge accepted.
Yeah, in Berlin he did it, and I wonder if he does eccentrics, if he'll be able to finally break two. You know, which is the thing that they've been trying to do.
Send me his name. So, you know, and even, so those are a couple ways that really, you know, hopefully can inspire runners to maybe explore this technique. And also, I mean, a massive thing that we do in eccentrics that a lot of other programs don't do is work the feet and work the ankles.
Oh, God.
We kick our shoes off. So when you know what, the easiest way to understand your body is use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. Like that, it's literally as simple as that. Your body's wired, and if something's not being used, okay, it's not getting its little signals. Okay, I'm not needed. Okay, slowly atrophy, slowly die away. Well, that atrophy, you know, our muscles, we may have 650 of them, but they're not each in a little vacuum, in a little bubble. They're all talking to each other. They're all connected. So if one little guy along that chain is affected, that whole big chain is affected, and you're going to lose that mobility, you're going to lose that potential strength, you're going to lose that energy. And, you know, so working your ankles, working your feet is massive in terms of your calves, in terms of that whole chain. And then, of course, the recovery. I remember the days like you get up from bed and you feel like an old man. You're shuffling, right? Mm-hmm. So this just keeps all of your, it's an incredible recovery process. And what's so great is like you do 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You do a 10 minute sequence, hip, back, whatever, hamstrings. And you're like, wow, I feel like myself again.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not just for just regular people. It's for, you're doing it with like high end athletes as well, right?
Exactly. Like So even years ago, Miranda Esmond-White, who started the technique, she was a professional ballet dancer in her younger days. And she just designed this technique out of, you know, different principles and different professionals that she had worked with, because there was nothing out there that really, you know, respected the body this way. And then all of a sudden, you know, people started finding out about it. And then, you know, national figure skaters and divers were calling her up and asking her to train their teams and train their, you know, individual athletes. Mm-hmm. And they went from being injured to not being injured. They went from retiring to being back in the game, you know, squash players, you name it. So it's so funny. I love reflecting on this. It's like, you have this body, right? You have this body that you're born with. It's your body, no one else's body. But you're so out of touch with it. It
drives me crazy.
You lift your arm, you put it down. I mean, even in class, these big, full, coordinated movements, that's why everyone always laughs, because they feel silly. They're like, why can I not reach this way at the same time that I bend over? And so I picture eccentrics as like that, you know, that user manual that you get for your car that sits in your glove compartment. And you only take it out when something goes wrong. You do.
Yeah.
And so eccentrics is really just like the user manual for your body. And it really gets you in touch to how it works and what's happening. And what's so great is that because it's a full body technique, no matter your ailments, it's going to be touched on. So often we get emails, you know, do you have a knee exercise? Do you have a shoulder exercise? I have knee pain. I have this. I have whatever. Hey, what episode do I do? Do any of them. Because since we're a full body program, we touch on everything in every workout. So no matter what you have, it will be addressed in any given workout. And that's what's so nice and safe about it. So it's everything. I mean, then you'll tap into a greater stride because you'll have that range of motion. You'll have that energy. You'll have that speed. It's massive for runners.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I just want to like, I definitely want to try more of this now, because I'm like just 10 minutes, like I said, I was noticing things, and I was noticing how even when we do it, like going down into a squat, I'm like, have a tendency to lean forward. Yeah. And this is something, you know, you definitely want to stay more upright, because in a marathon, you know, like the longer the race, the more likely you are to lose your form because of fatigue, because of lack of strength, because of overall body, like body strength at that distance, you know? Yeah. So it'd be pretty interesting, I think.
It really helps that endurance. You will be the last man standing with this technique, honestly. It's but like you discovered, you got to try it to like really understand how it's like, the feel and the vibe.
To get the bent, see it to believe it.
Kind of
thing. Do it to understand it.
Yeah.
So I understand there's a few books out on eccentrics. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Miranda Esmond White is the creator of the program. She's the host on PBS. On PBS, the show is called Classical Stretch. And so she wrote a couple books. The first one is called Aging Backwards, and the second book is called Forever Painless. And it's just really nice books you can pick up online or in the bookstore. It's very accessible language. So even though, you know, we work with, you know, high up doctors and this and that, and we've had, you know, she's had lots of years of training and she's brilliant, she speaks in such a way that's like so relatable. So again, it's that user manual. People think that aging, the symptoms, the signs of aging, like shuffling, poor posture, loss of energy, loss of speed, loss of mobility, you know, digestive issues, breathing, all this kind of stuff, aches and pains, that just comes with aging. I was talking to my sister the other day, and I think it was when she was, you know, 41. She has three kids, and she's like, is this what aging is? Like her posture, she's got knee pain, she's got this, is this what aging is? Because we're led to believe that that's what it is, and it's not. It comes back to this simple, what I said before, just that simple phrase, use it or lose it.
Right.
And so now there are studies that prove that you don't have to lose that muscle mass like we thought we did. Yes, things start to change, you know, maybe 35 and 40 and whatever, but if you use your muscles, you don't lose them. Miranda's 69. She puts us all to shame because she's just kept using everything. And, you know, you hear about these 120-year-old Tai Chi masters because they've just kept moving. And so the book Aging Backwards is really just this very inspirational, very easy to read book that really teaches you why and the science behind it. So to do with your mitochondria, to do with your muscle cells, to do with, you know, the actual science behind what's happening in your body, in a very, very relatable way. And it gives people that hope. It gives people that hope. It puts you back in the driver's seat for your body and gives you that power of control. So it's, you know, it explains all that. And then there's exercises in the back and there's DVDs that go along with it. So that's Aging Backwards. And the other book is Forever Painless. And again, how many people live in chronic pain and you just kind of accept it? And you don't really know what it is. And so this book really helps explain to you in a very nice, easy to understand way what pain is, that it's just a message from your brain, something's off, something's up, and how, you know, the only way to get yourself out of pain is to not work into pain. So again, it teaches you how to just work gently to get yourself out of that pain and put yourself back in that driver's seat and not get defined by your pain or held back by your pain. And I've had chronic pain and I know the mental challenge. It's all consuming.
What kind of pain did you have?
I have a labral tear in my hip.
Okay.
So that's a bit of a challenging injury because it's not something that really self-heals. It's cartilage, so not a lot of blood flow. And the surgery isn't necessarily one of these like, oh, it's terrific. You know, sometimes you're a little bit worse off, so it's a bit risky. So it's a challenge. And when I was training for that half marathon, the first one, I felt I felt that pain with every stride. So that's something that I'm working through. And, you know, I'm starting to explore more mental practices because it's such a mental game. And just having that time, and again, not being defined by maybe what's holding you back or your weakness, but really trying to tap in to your strength and define yourself by your strength and what you do have. And, you know, I'm even watching my vocabulary, and I don't even want to say, you know, my bad hip and my permanent injury. Even that vocabulary I know is just kind of feeding it. So I'm, you know, through Eccentrics, I know that I need to keep working gently, but you know, it's my own challenge, right? It's like, okay, I've got 10 extra minutes. Okay, well, you know what? Maybe I'm going to tone my butt instead of releasing my hip, which is what I need. So this is something that I'm working on, and I've, you know, got a few things that I'm exploring right now that I'm really excited about. And it's just about that, that mental kind of acceptance of your body. And, you know, we even talk about it too, before doing an eccentric session, what kind of mind frame you have, and going into a session with that kind of self-love and care. And this is what I try to teach my dad about too, because he gets so torn up if he has a shoulder injury. Ugh, you know, it's the end of the world. No, that's what defines him all of a sudden. And he's down on himself and down on himself and just thinking about what he could do yesterday and what that he can't do it today. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people think that way. And so, you know, it's like going into that run or going into that workout and just kind of with, you know, as cheesy as it might sound, but with that kind of self-love thought and just being compassionate towards yourself within your workouts. Mm-hmm. This is your one body. So Forever Painless explores topics to do with pain and again, with workouts and everything that go along with it. And, you know, a lot of people and a lot of doctors prescribe because it's easy. So you prescribe the pills and you take the pills because it's easy. And, you know, it's complicated. Pain is very complicated. And so that masks the symptoms, but it doesn't address the root cause. So Eccentrics tries to get in there and address the root cause of the pain in that mind-body kind of way. So that's what's really inspiring too. And that's why people email us and write to us to tell us that they're off their pain meds now. So Eccentrics is not a spiritual technique in any way. It's really just about the science of your body, mm-hmm. but it really does connect your mind to your body through purposeful movement, deliberate movement. The more you put your mind into the movement, the more you'll get out of it. So that's how it's a very mind-body technique. And I love tapping into that, and I love helping students and kind of driving that home in videos and in my class and to connect to that. Because again, it's this funny thing. We're on autopilot. We have this body, but you just kind of wake up and you go and you go and you go and you do and you do and you do. And like you look down and you're like, this is my vessel, but like, I don't know what the heck is up with it. Mm-hmm. So you get that in Eccentrics, and then you can apply it in your runs. You can keep that kind of mental focus and that mind-body connection in your long runs when you need it. My gosh, at the end of that Seaweeds half marathon, I had to go into beast mode. Like I joked, I've told people, I'm like, I was literally making like karate chop hands and like chopping through the air like, get me through this run.
You finish on the seawall, so it's pretty motivating in itself.
It was beautiful. And I, you know, really tried to stay present in the moment and like look around and be in it. And that's like another, you know, little, I don't know. I feel grateful that I was able to tap into that and just kind of be in the moment throughout it. So, you know, that's what I really love about running too, is that you're in it in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's nice that what you said about like, I just go with my own body, how I'm feeling. You have fun mm-hmm. doing it, mm-hmm. which is, these are all things that I try and keep for myself always. Like mm-hmm. I'm trying to improve. There's a bit of more like a time purpose right. for my running,
yeah.
but I always try
That's
and keep
goal.
It fun. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying about the routes, like I try and run different places in Montreal because yeah. a long yeah. run, I mean, you can't do the same route all the time because a lot of the feedback you get is like, I know which kilometer I'm at.
Right.
It's daunting. But when you run a different route, you're like, okay, yeah. I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get lost in the city and and stay away from like all the cones and the bad drivers as much as possible.
Avoid sprained ankles and surviving.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And when's your, do you have a plan to run again or?
Well, I went for a run this morning so that I could be kind of in like run mode and just like appreciated, felt grateful that I, you know, what's so great about running, and it's the same thing for eccentrics. It's just your body. It's just your body. So like you don't need any equipment, you don't need anything. And so I think that that's why they both speak to me on a very kind of like raw, instinctual, basic kind of like survival level in terms of just like, this is your body and this is what it can do. And so it's nice that you can just get up and run and you go. And same thing for eccentrics. You don't need equipment. You just do it. And so that's one way that I was kind of thinking about how they're similar. And the other way is that freedom.
I was going to say the same thing.
That freedom. So
liberating.
Liberating. You run and you go and you feel capable. And even though maybe you're, you know, in pain, you feel stiff. We all know that moment, right? At first, it's like challenging, challenging, challenging. And then you hit whatever minute you need to hit and whatever kilometer it is. And then you're coasting for a bit. And at first, it's like challenging. I feel like even like the first 12 or so minutes is hard. And then after that 12 minutes of running, it's like, okay, I got this. And same thing for eccentrics. It frees up your body. And so that is a crazy ripple effect. You're standing taller, you're shining brighter, you know, the feedback and just like the vibrations that you're giving off with other people, it owns that. And like, I love that freedom. And, you know, in life, you kind of just, you want to feel free. You don't want to feel trapped by your body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what pain does. That's what aging does. You feel trapped in your body. So eccentrics really untraps you. And then, you know, you can go for those runs and keep feeling free. And that's just like the ticket to life, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think this is like, we wanted to do this podcast to you at this time because it's for your birthday
week.
Yeah. I'm dating this, but it's your birthday week. So
that's right.
Yeah. You're doing something right.
Girls,
you know?
Love birthday week. It's my birthday month.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're doing something right. And mm-hmm. I think similarly, like as I get up in age, mm-hmm. I'm always trying to, I don't mm-hmm. know if it's that internal motivator, but mm-hmm. just like continuously trying to improve
mm-hmm.
myself.
Mm-hmm.
To have mm-hmm. that long, healthy kind of life that I want to live.
All we have is what's in front of us,
that's
right?
It, yeah.
Like, I'm 35. And whenever people find out that I'm 35, they're like, what? No, you don't. First of all, it's like, you don't look 35. I'm like, what the hell is 35 supposed to look like, first
yeah.
of all?
Yeah.
Or you don't seem it. And like, I know I've always had a childlike energy, you know, and that's why I've always loved teaching preschool. And it was just like my outlet, just kind of just be me. And like, mm-hmm. even in eccentrics, it's a nice outlet. But, you know, I think it's important for all of us to own our age and to give it whatever definition we want. And there's no textbook for 35, for 40, for 50, for 60. Like, yes, am I noticing the fine lines? I am. But in terms of my body, it continues to change. With eccentrics, you never plateau
mm-hmm.
because you keep gaining flexibility and strength, which means you're going to keep reaching further. You're going to keep pushing and resisting with more strength. You're never going to plateau. So that's really fun for me as a teacher to teach my students is like, sure, maybe we've done these pliés. Maybe we've done this little windmill sequence a million times, but this is how you're going to make it more challenging for yourself. This is how you're going to reach further. And again, it's that capable, amazing feeling because it's just your own body. So I feel excited to be 35. I feel excited to continue to gain strength and flexibility and freedom of movement. I do have my challenges. You know, I do have my own hip stuff that I'm dealing with and that pain, but like, I want to use, you know, just I want to use my wounds as a source of wisdom, and I want to use it as a platform to gain more compassion for myself, mm-hmm. for others. That's kind of just my little 35-year-old story.
Just embrace yourself, embrace life mm-hmm. and everything that comes with it.
Yeah.
Speaking of platforms, where can people find out more about you, about Eccentrix, about the books, mm-hmm. all that great stuff?
So they can find it online. Eccentrix is Essentrics, because it's based on strengthening eccentrically versus concentrically. So it's a little play on that word.
Nice.
Our studio, our Eccentrix studio, is downtown in Montreal on Stanley, just above Sherbrooke. The head office, you know, where all the magic happens. We're based in Old Montreal. Everyone thinks we're an American company because we're on PBS every day.
Okay.
It's such an inspiring place. This is also where we sell our DVDs and our books. So, you know, people can pass by our studio or our office or email or call and set up, you know, a time to come by or a trial class or a private class or, you know, which DVD do I get, whatever. I love our company. We are all in it for the right reason. And it's really just to help people and to help, you know, share this tool. And that's what I love about our teachers too, because so many people discover this technique, start doing it, don't think that they're going to teach it, but you're like, I can't not share it. It's mm-hmm. too good to keep to myself.
Right.
So it just kind of spreads like wildfire quite organically. So we're based here, but we have teachers all over the world, you know, growing, over 1,000 teachers, so you can find a teacher in your area or do the videos like I did. And really it's a testament to it, because the people that write the letters, they're just doing it at home and they're not writing us letters of getting injured and throwing out their back. And I can't tell you how many poor people have, you know, seen personal trainers or, you know, one-on-one sessions, and something terrible will happen and they'll pay the price for a year more. And, you know, so it's a really safe technique to just even do on your own. So those are little ways to find out about the program.
Social media at all? Or
social media, yeah. Instagram, Facebook. There's little support groups online. Awesome. On Facebook. There's a few different pages, but absolutely just Eccentrix on Facebook and on Instagram.
Great.
And that's
And
it.
About you personally, I don't know if you...
Oh, yeah. Well, you can look me up, too. I have a social media page also. It's a little, like, it's just Meg_FEENS, Fiennes.
Cool.
My last name is Feeney. It's just like a little social media slice of me, you know. It's nothing overly professional, nothing overly personal, but it's just kind of showing that I do it all, and I'm not obsessive about any kind of physical fitness practice, anything. It's just like, hey, live your life, have your fun, stay out late, eat the stuff, drink the stuff, do whatever you want to do. But just, you know, feel good about your body and just kind of live life. So that's my social media page.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for coming in today. Thanks for doing the little one-on-one, Eccentrix class with me. Yeah, I hope. I don't feel like I did great. But
you did amazing.
No, I really appreciate you coming in today. And I'm curious to do my next class with you for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to thank you for inviting me here and giving me this kind of platform to just chat and go with the flow and chat about things that I love. And yeah, so thank you.
And stay tuned for your episode on The Rundown.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Movember, a cause that is most recognized for its mustache but has evolved into so much more. In fact, you don't even need to grow a mustache to participate. Keep your beard, grow or don't. The most important thing is raising awareness to fight the four main causes: mental health, suicide prevention, prostate cancer, and testicular cancer. Getting involved is easy. Sign up or donate at Movember.com to help change the face of men's health.
Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of The Rundown. Please make sure to visit us at imarunner.ca. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at WRGRuns. And let us know what you think using the hashtag LaRundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Now take what you've learned and run with it. Le Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in downtown Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi and assisted by Mark Grinberg. Marketing by Jill Garcia and hosted by me, Justin Pugliese.